Welcome. This is Winning at Life. It is the weekly wrap. Live financial talk radio where you can participate in the show. Get a financial fix today for a better tomorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Barker. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about what it looks like to have a plan B for Social Security. You know, people always come up to us and say, you know, I don't expect Social Security to be there. We do, but all right, let's accommodate you. What should you do then if you're going to go ahead and go with the expectation it's gone? Also, we're going to look at some news of the week, a lot of fiscal changes, especially in the policy realm happening in D.C. that will directly affect your money. And it's tax weekend. Technically, tax day's not till Tuesday, but this is the final moments when you got to cut that big, painful check to Uncle Sam. Maybe we'll look forward and see if we can tamp that down so next year's not so painful. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us via our Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Float us a text message that way. Right now we're on Periscope, but the connection may dictate that this isn't going to last long in the video streaming realm. Bad news, Gregory. The Atlanta Federal Reserve slashed their quarter one GDP forecast to just 0.5%. That's their lowest expected GDP rate in 3 years. That's bad.
That's harsh.
Now, we haven't had actually a negative GDP for since, what, was that 2011 here that I'm looking at? Or is that February 2012? But it's been a while. It's if we actually hit 0.5%, that has to keep the downturn going. If it beats it, I'm not even sure that stops the downturn, because I'm feeling some of that red momentum here.
Yeah, that will not stop the movement downward. If anything, probably helps. You know, some of the saber rattling isn't helping either. You know, war drums start beating, market goes down. Major promises by Trump has not come through. I guess there is an adjustment to the slow way of doing things in Washington. Did they give any details on why they slashed the rate?
Yeah, part of it was the earnings coming out the corporate world. Most of it's focused on the retail sector. And
Retail is bad, and it's... I don't know, what's going to make up or change retail, or do they need to change how they look at it? Do they consider the online as part of retail, where that's growing, but the brick and mortar has not adjusted to it? And that's where you've got to look at those websites. Maybe if they're judging by sales tax revenues in counties, parishes, states, to look at how things are growing, yeah, you're going to see that slowing. But on the other side, you know, I think Dillard's.com is probably doing pretty good. You know, Walmart's made huge gains on Amazon on that side. Does that affect their in-store traffic? I'd say it does on all of them if they're doing it right.
Well, I feel like that's the problem that we have when you have such a rally and such exuberance that's built on hope. It wasn't built on numbers. This whole run-up since the election
is expectation.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's you run into a couple of legislative hurdles, you know, Obamacare falling flat on its face, or the Obamacare reform, I should say, falling flat on its face, and then the delay of the tax reform, which a lot of this was built on. Man, if they don't do something soon, you know, we're going to deal with this later in the show. But when Trump's asked to name his accomplishments, none of them went through D.C. The only one was the nomination or the approve.
Yeah, a lot of executive orders. But even with his interview with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business the other morning, and you hear some congressional leaders saying this as well, we're really close on it. You know, they've gained some more votes, but it still hasn't passed. And that's really what we're wanting to hear. Right? Yeah, we're close. Well, you said you were close back when you pulled it from the vote. Close means you're short, not going to get it done. But are we getting closer? And if they could, you know, it'd be cool to get that done in the next week or two, because now you're moving in the summer. And doesn't Congress take some time off? find reasons to take a lot of things off. Maybe it's after August or something, but you're needing time to get some part of the tax cuts through, and it turns out you're not getting anything done until you get the health care done.
Well, part of this is the continuance of kicking the can. Now we're not talking about doing a budget, and we're not talking about fixing the debt ceiling. They're talking about doing a continuing resolution so they can pick this back up in June and just continue the current levels and not do a full-blown budget. They're going to go back to the CR model. That's not going to make business happy. That doesn't make me happy. That does not make me optimistic about my taxes going down or my health care getting somewhat fixed.
I guess once you get your, you know, it's kind of like war. You know, you could dictate it from over here, but once you put boots on the ground, or you put your boots on the ground, said, this is crazy. This is insane. This is out of control. Well, that's what government is.
But how does it happen to Clinton and then Bush and then Obama? They say all these things on the campaign trail, and then they get in office, and they all get pulled toward the similar model. You know, the Democrats get pulled from the left, the Republicans get pulled from the right, and it's this sort of crony centrist move. What do they find out when they get in office? What do they just sniff the power and it intoxicates them, or does the intelligence community tell them things that we don't know?
It's like those giant cruise ships. How fast can you make a turn in one of those?
Takes a while.
And that's really what we're talking about here. Is the reality is you're not going in there in 100 days and making bills that you have to pass that is going to create change to get everybody to agree. You know, with executive orders, you can do a heck of a lot. You know, we could stop some of the spending, hiring, and start cleaning up all the departments of the federal government. But, you know, when you've got to pass a bill to make really big impact, you know, and you've seen him change on a number of things. His opinion has changed a little bit on Janet Yellen. That was being talked about the other day. Some of it's about faces. Russia's no fun. China's a better friend. NATO has a purpose. You know, just some of the things that he's said. When you get there and see from the inside, you see the intelligence, and you probably thinks, yeah, North Korea is a much bigger problem.
That makes more sense, though, in the foreign policy stuff, because there can be things about North Korea that he now knows that the rest of us don't know. But why would he flip on, like he said to the Wall Street Journal this week, he's concerned that the U.S. dollar is getting too strong. That's a weird flip. There can't be any new information on that one. Or he backed off labeling China as a currency manipulator. Does he really think they're not going to manipulate their currency in the future? Or is he just backing off that label requirement for something we don't know? For some reason we don't know.
You know, he needs their help, like with North Korea, as an example, that something's probably going to have to be done is what it comes down to. And it's been kicked. That can keeps being kicked down the road, but it's only going to get kicked so far. Goes like with the federal budget deficit. That's a battle they're going to have to do, and you would think it might tie in with taxes. So when you're talking to them about currency, you come to an understanding is, hey, this is how we see it. And then from one stance, China might have said, you know, if your dollar was a little bit weaker, it would make it better for the rest of us. So there was probably discussions. You think about Europe. What would they like? Weaker dollar. A lot of parts of the world, if not all. So it's kind of changing. And that's where a business guy comes in there and negotiates. Where can I gain leverage here? You give me some of this. I give this to you to get it done, instead of just be bullheaded. You know, pick that battle today and let's see what they do. I'll take your word for it for now. You've got my trust. Let's see where this goes.
So now we're going back to the scenario that was last Sunday, where Trump and Xi Jinping are sitting at a table with the greatest piece of chocolate cake in human history. The advisor comes up, the military advisor says, we've got the missiles. It turns out they shot the missiles earlier and they were just circling above the base.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And then he says, all right, you want us to drop them? And he goes, okay, drop them. And within 2 minutes, 59 hits, or was it 49, something like that?
59, I believe.
Yeah. And so Xi Jinping's probably like, what was that? We just took out one of Assad's air bases, you know, the chemical weapons thing. So let's talk about your coal here. We need to put some coal miners back to work, and I understand you're buying a lot from North Korea. Why don't you buy from us? China didn't blink. They probably immediately went to, okay, how about you stop labeling us a currency manipulator? How about that? Deal. How about that cake? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's kind of how it gets done instead of trying to take a hard line and everything shuts down. And we know Obama didn't get along with the other guys out there. And I don't know how he had discussions. That'd be good to be a fly on the wall to kind of see why they didn't get along or the stance that he took. But or maybe he caved on everything was the problem. Where he couldn't get anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of these guys, you don't expect anyone to get along with someone like a Putin. But you told me on Wednesday that China turned around 6 North Korean ships full of coal, and China doesn't have coal. And so when they turned it around, you're like, where are they going to get it? They're going to get it from the United States.
Yeah, we have plenty.
That's an amazing piece of progress. How did someone get China to do that?
They traded something.
Currency manipulator.
And then
status,
after those
maybe?
Discussions, too, China moves 150,000 or so troops to the border, North Korea. That if something happens, they probably don't want a refugee overflow. But if this happens, you know the leadership is going to be taken out. So who wants to go in and probably influence that change?
China.
Yeah. Be right there in position to do so. And why are we talking about this? Yeah, it's going to rock the markets, at least briefly. Hey, I like discounting, so if it gets us some discounting, we're good with that.
Yeah, we still got some money on the sidelines.
It's going to clean up and not continue on.
Well,
it could get really ugly briefly, but it is going to come to a stop. Somebody has more power than the other.
Another interesting piece of progress. It's Saturday morning here, 10:15, but in Korea, it's Saturday night, if not early Sunday morning, and we were promised a nice little nuclear test out of that crazy little chubby dictator over there, and looks like they didn't do it after all. Looks like somebody blinked. You see a gigantic armada coming at you with the aircraft carrier you can see and the sub you can't see, and you're like, maybe we'll just do that on Sunday, or maybe we'll push it back a week, or... You know what? The weather just doesn't look right, guys. Let's go ahead and put the brakes on this for a minute. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
You've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do. You better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200. Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
Every time I ask it how many homeowners are in the audience, it's 100%, let's say 90% to be safe. But then when I say how many are in a retirement home, you go down to 10, 20%.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
we see what's coming. And I always tell people, look, we're not going to be shocked one day and it's all gone. We're going to see it coming. We're going to have some insight of it. And look, trouble's coming. I'm going to start running ahead of the rest of you. Remember, and I'm very public, you're going to see what I think, hear what's going on, and if you see me running, don't ask, just start running too, and then we're going to be good, because we're going to have a heads up on what's coming. This government's not perfect, but hey, where else would you want to be? You want to be over in Russia right now, living there in that mess, or Greece? You know, we're kind of handling it.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200. Welcome back. Winning at Life. Weekly Wrap.
All right, two things. If you're going to paint a missile, why would you camouflage it? You know?
You got it rolling down the center of your largest city there in North Korea. I just think it's a truck with a whole lot of wheels, tires on it, and a big empty tank painted. Oh, yeah, we got a monster missile. You think you're a little... biggest non-nuclear bomb. So we'll wait till you get a load of this.
And you need to question the leadership of your country and really your entire society structure. If your parades include tanks and missiles rolling down the street, you know, we just had Mardi Gras a couple months ago. I don't remember any missiles being a part of that. I don't remember any tanks. I don't remember anything that was gigantic and camouflaged going down the street. Our parades are a lot more fun. It says something bad about your country if you're having military parades like that. Do we ever do that? Do we ever have a military? Do we ever parade missiles down the street?
No. We kind of keep that stuff close to secret. We're not as good as Ford or GM, you know, but, you know, government tries to keep it secret. But, you know, these communist countries like that, like to parade their tanks, missiles, and troops. And maybe those people out there saying, dad gum, if you'd quit spending money on that, we could have more food or something like that, electricity during the night. That'd be probably what I'd be thinking if I lived over there. Oh, we've got this might. It's a small backwood country on a giant island called North Korea.
Yeah, well, that's one of their main exports. Other than that, their industries are all built on raw materials. Coal and potassium, whatever they can dig out of the ground. It doesn't require anything being assembled, just the raw goods. But they do export quite a few missiles. I don't know if I'd be buying from them considering their record of failure as far as missile tests go.
I would really question their technology because they're so disconnected. It's not like they have consortiums and working with other companies, Boeing, Raytheon,
right.
The Europeans, China share stuff, Russia sell them some tech. No, none of that's happening.
But who does buy from North Korea? There's three camps in the world, basically.
Iran?
Yeah. Well, look, the United States will put sanctions and not sell arms to a ton of countries that are bad actors. Usually, Russia will come in and pick up the slack on that second tier of countries, you know, whether it's a Cuba or an Egypt or a Syria. But if your country's such a basket case that even Russia won't sell to you, then you've got to get it from North Korea. So, right, like Iran, that's one of them. That's how that ends up. You were showing me the picture of the parade that they had earlier today in North Korea, and it's not a very inviting group of people.
And here's where tensions may be increased because of that they call the new ICBM, which appeared to have elements of two other ICBMs, the KN-08 and the KN-14, a Franken missile. The expert said new capabilities, if confirmed, may increase options as it seeks a test launch and ability to deliver a nuclear warhead to the continental U.S. If they were I could see why we would put a carrier fleet out there if they were going to accomplish that.
This is not good for the markets. People are acting crazy like this. To the phones we go. This is Nelson in New Orleans. You're first up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Thanks for calling, Nelson. How can we help you? Nelson?
In about a month, and I have about $500,000 in my 401k, and right now I'm split 55-45 fixed in stock, and I'm considering for protection purposes moving some of that fixed income to an annuity, about 20% of the total. I'm just trying to see if that would make sense.
What type of annuity are you looking at?
I'm looking at a fixed with joint and survivor. I am married, 41 years, so I'm looking for a little bit of income protection for my wife, and, you know, since I'll probably go first. And it'll be a fixed, and I'm looking at deferring till 65 with maybe an option to turn it on at 62 or earlier.
So does this have an income rider?
Is what you're talking about? Not sure.
Well, how are we turning on income?
It'll be a monthly stream. My understanding is if I purchase it and ask to defer it to 65, I'll have a one-time option to turn it on early, but with a reduced amount.
Gosh, the one-time option sounds unique, because typically you have the option to turn it on at any time. You sure this is not a variable annuity?
No, sir. I was specific, and I believe it's through New York Life as the issuing company.
That's one reason I suggest a second opinion. All annuities are not built alike. And, you know, for the most part, if we were building income, and that's where it also gets to me, where this one-time option. You know, if we're putting a client in a fixed indexed annuity, for example, and the purpose of it is to turn on guaranteed lifetime income with spousal continuation, you know, we could turn it on at any time. We could turn it off at any time, and we could turn it back on again. This sounds more like annuitization, and I would rather not have a full commitment to commit 20-25% of the assets to something that I couldn't control the underlying assets. You know, you could get a roll up of, depending on the company, 6-6.5% out there. And you could turn it on whether it's at next year, 5 years, 10 years out, and have some flexibility. That's one reason I always say is you should have a second opinion. I think we're pretty good at that. We're not going to rain on your parade, but we also want to make sure you understand, and it needs to be correlated to everything else you're planning to do and that you have. It's really important, those two parts.
Now, this instrument you're talking about at 6 or 6.5%, I mean, it's a fixed annuity, but I'm not understanding.
Yeah, it's a fixed annuity with a guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit. And I'll just, for short, call it an income rider, but we kind of build it as pension-like. And I'm not speaking about one. There's quite a few companies that provide this type of annuities that are fixed, which means your money does not have market risk.
Right. Okay. Well, it sounds like something I need to call into the office and get, like you said, I'll get more details on the instrument that I've been, you know, told is right for me, and maybe come in and have you take a look and compare that to what you could get me into. And if yours is better, I certainly would want it.
Let me ask you one other question. So this company with the New York Life annuity, is that the only product they have, is New York Life?
No, well, actually, I'm going through Fidelity Investments through one of their investment advisors, and this is one of the instruments he said was available. I mean, they offer a whole lot of other.
Okay, so you're doing this over the phone?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you might rather a sit-down face-to-face. I kind of like that when when you're making a big commitment like this.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been very helpful, and when it gets a little closer, I'll give your office a call and set up a chance to come talk to you guys.
Okay. Glad we could be of help.
All right. You guys are always helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nelson. You're very kind. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995.
You know, continuation on that thought, you know, in this day and age, you know, I don't mind the phone calls because we do those a lot, but I also like Skype or GoToMeeting, you know, softwares like that where we can have a face-to-face meeting, his computer to my computer as such, and see each other on a big screen, and we could cover some of this information. You know, ultimate, what's the best? It's face-to-face meetings, but we're in a different world, and we've got clients across the country in various sections, various states there that we do these meetings and get the material to them and such as that. But it's just to have a understanding that we're not going to have a bias towards one company or one type of annuity. So it comes down to, you know, what's that purpose of the money as a whole? You can say my overall, here's my purpose. Then from that, we can start figuring out how much should be in that annuity, or should it be two annuities, depending on what you're trying to do. We had a gentleman in the other day, he sat down and basically said, I want a third in fixed. I want a third in conservative investments, and I want a third in equities. Well, we started out with, we were talking about one particular annuity product, and we ended up somewhere about $300,000 being used in two specific annuities that fit his needs. He was thinking about one. I talked to him about as many as three, and we settled on two that seemed to fit his needs the best.
When Nelson said there's a one-time opportunity to turn it on early, that
that sounded so narrow there, where we don't have anything that's narrow. I just wouldn't use something like that. I've only got one option to turn it on.
Sounds suspicious.
Yeah.
All right, if you want to be next, 504-260-0995. I am James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Have you set up a survivor or legacy plan? How are your assets looking long range? Do you have a plan if you move on how your assets are going to be managed? How are your assets going to move on to your beneficiaries or your spouse? Do you have a plan for that? And one of the things working with a financial advisor, if they have something like we do, the Total Wealth Authority, and we think it's something to work hand in hand with an estate planning attorney to make sure the assets are managed right and that they flow right, you may be able to get some help from a financial advisor if you do not have an estate or legacy plan.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kind of love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Folks talk about fixed indexed annuities. Great financial tool in the right place, but they do have a surrender period. What does it cost me to get in? What does it cost me to get out? And when can I exit?
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
If you're not at your old job, your 401k shouldn't be either. I don't want it to become forgotten money. My guidance would be is if you're going to take and roll that over and you're going to correlate it to risk, I think you should work with somebody loss adverse, meaning that they would rather get you to cash than writing down losses.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat.
We keep an eye on your money and update you daily. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Happy pseudo-tax day. Normal calendar years, April 15th would be the day of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, but we have it delayed till Tuesday this year. I'm going to go over a polite history of government predictions about the fate of Social Security. See how they paired
Something's happening to Social Security?
No,
they're
it's
ending
fine.
It?
No, it'll be fine forever. It'll be fine forever.
Oh, I don't think it'll be around. I'm kind of throwing stuff out there like clients do. It's not going to be there. We're all in trouble.
I'm going to tell you why they think that, because when you look at the prediction that they made in 2007 about when Social Security would run out of money and then the prediction they made this year, imagine how wrong they were 10 years ago, which makes you think, imagine how wrong this one is. Anyway, that's coming up in just a second. First, we're going to talk to our buddy Blaze in the Broadmoor. You're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Blaze?
Can't help me, James, other than to have a wonderful day.
I was going to do that anyway, Blaze.
All right. I guess I'm calling to talk about precious metals. Do you know why coins are reeded? And do you know what reeded, R-E-E-D-E-D, means?
Is that the little ridges on the side?
That's correct. You know why coins are reeded?
No.
So that people can't shave them.
Oh, just
in
takes,
other words,
take some of the silver
know,
or gold off.
You want to see that your coin is intact, that you have the full value of the coin. Oh, that's back when coins had some value.
Right, it doesn't matter now. But, yeah, no. We don't read our pennies and nickels.
No, but it's funny. People should start pulling out, like I'm doing, every penny before 1982 because it's 100% copper, and it's worth... Last I saw, 1.7 cents for a penny.
Yeah.
In other words, there's 1.7 cents worth of copper in a penny that was made before 1982.
Blaze, what's the value of a quarter made before 1963 or whatever that date is?
Jeez, good question.
I think it's like 27 bucks, isn't it?
No, nothing like that.
Not that high?
Boy, you're putting me on the spot.
Well, I thought you were coming with all the precious metals trivia here. I can Google it just as fast as you can think about
yeah,
it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, Google it, man, and enlighten me.
Okay, so what's your call about?
Now, what is my call about? Should people include precious metals as a portion of their net worth?
Yeah, precious metals in a portfolio.
If they have it, it should be included. I don't know that they should go and buy it. Too many mistakes.
I disagree
too many
with
mistakes.
That because, you know, one of the things that I would like to bring up is that we're at a point where I think if you buy, you know, say silver, for instance, I've always been a silver bug, but my understanding is, for instance, I recently bought a 1913 St. Gaudens gold, $20 gold piece. I paid $1,700 or $1,750. 2 or 3 months later, I'm looking, and it's now, you know, I could cash it in for $1,900. Don't you think that's some pretty good, you know, appreciation?
Yeah, I was just looking at gold, for example, where if you're looking at it on a one-year time frame, you're not up much. You're looking at it on a year-to-date time frame,
Yeah. You're
doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Probably similar for silver. I'm not big into, because we started off with a coin conversation. Yeah, I'm not big into buying these coins, and usually mistakes are made or the coin dealer's overpricing it.
I can't disagree with what you've said. You have given good advice.
But metals now, and we have GLD in a couple of our strategies, and we like where it's going, and it's moving up, coming back into favor. And if the dollar does decrease, it's going to go up more in value.
It's electrons.
It's paper. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's paper. It's electrons. I mean, if I have a physical piece that I hold, I think I'm so much better than if I have a position in GLD.
So why are you holding physical gold?
What's your reasoning? You know, part of it is habit. You know, when I came to New Orleans back in 1972, I went to work at a coin shop. And the owner there, you know, I was hot for silver. And I told him, you know, Mr. Cal May, you know, I want to buy some, you know, silver. And he said, no, don't do that. He says, buy this. He said, buy, at the time there was no, it used to be that coins were, like you said, you know, the coin dealer would say, this is what it is. It's, you know, it's very good. It's fine. It's mint state 62. Now things are put into plastic and slabs, so it's a little bit easier to determine their value. But, you know, what he told me was, he said, buy gold. And I bought a $20 gold piece in like 1972 at $99. And then I bought a $10 gold piece for $110. And then I bought a $5 gold piece at $125. And then I bought and these coins are getting smaller and smaller. A $2.50 gold piece at $135. So, I don't know, add it up. Let's say $500. Well, within a year or two, gold had rocketed, and it was now worth twice as much, and it pretty much saved my butt.
Well, over the past 20 years, gold is up tremendously. You go back to a 3-year chart, it's actually down, so it's a matter of timing. Here's where I look at it, and we're talking about the average investor. You have worked in the business. You're savvy and have some understanding, but somebody goes and they go and buy physical gold, they're having to keep it someplace, or if they're using their IRA, they're keeping it someplace else and paying and trusting that it's actually there. Why do we use like GLD and ETF? Because we're trading it just like it's IBM. If gold's moving up, I want to make money. If gold's going to be moving down, I'm selling it. And that's the whole purpose of it. I'm not a coin dealer. I don't have a bias. I don't have gold bars to sell, and that might create a bias, and I wouldn't want to be in that business because I might say, well, hey, man, I can mark this up today and sell this to that guy. Just we're not going to do it that way.
The reason I wouldn't want to be in that business is that somebody is going to come in with a gun and want to take it away from you. I mean, if you're a physical coin dealer, I would not want to be a coin dealer because I think that the physicality of it is a little bit scary.
Well, you still have a fee to buy, you have a fee to sell, you got to store it, hold it somewhere, and you got to guard it.
You got to pay William Devane's.
So I'm gonna I'm gonna trade it on paper because I make profits there too.
All right, I hear you. All right. I'll let you go. Disconnect.
Thanks. Here's your update here. If you get the last year, the quarters were solid silver. 1964. I was off by a year. If you melted it down and just took the silver, it would be $3.35 worth of silver. But the average condition coin can get you $6 at any coin dealer. And if you get one in mint condition that's pristine, the highest one sold for $42 at an auction. So it's still worth more as a collectible than the raw silver itself, but far more than the 25 cents that silver was worth at the time.
All right. You know, I've had this urge for years to have a gold coin. You know, what is it? The Buffalo, solid gold Buffalo nickel, I believe it is, has the highest content of gold. But I just can't pull the trigger. I'm going to pay $1,200, almost $1,300 for it. And darn, it might get lost in that drawer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of a novelty, too.
Yeah, novelty, cool to have, I think, but quite expensive to have. And I'm sure not going to carry it around or something. So you know what? Other than having that little back of my mind to do that, I'm not ever going to do it. I'd rather have it in ETF and have it going up right now and sell it when it stops.
We will never stop getting those questions, though, as many times as we answer it. People are always drawn to it.
But. And the guys that run those commercials make it sound so good and sweet, and it always works out fine.
I tell you, the one time when people are going to be glad that they got physical silver or gold is if we have a currency reset. If they reissue a currency like they had to do three times in the last 20 years in Argentina. But that's never happened in America. I'm not saying it won't ever happen, but that's the only situation where I can see that be a big advantage.
Yeah, and we talk about just how ugly is that globally. It means things are already really ugly globally, because you're not just going to go and create that chaos by doing that.
All right, we're going to go through and we're going to look at a history of government predictions about the fate of Social Security, see if we can notice a couple of scary trend lines there. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How does divorce affect your Social Security payments?
It's a traditional IRA. My mother died, and she named my brother and I as beneficiaries.
Can I still contribute to a Roth IRA now that I'm retired?
I was just wondering if we should pay our mortgage up.
And I really enjoy y'all's program. It's very informative.
You made some money for me today.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
For taxpayers that get these phone calls, it's very scary. Give us a call. We'll call them back on your behalf. And usually those calls then go away.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
How can we create a financial tool that gives returns like bonds, also has an upside, and when interest rates go up, that gets melded into it as well? You do not have interest rate risk. You do not have credit risk. You don't have default risk. And all the money's in actual reserves, not being spent elsewhere. And that's using a fixed annuity. Then you come back and say, well, I'm not really liking that because I have to lock my money up. The way we structure it, that's a myth. You have surrender provisions, But whenever I build something, I always kind of look for what are my benefits and what are my exits.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
At risk of losing your home in a foreclosure? We can help. We'll deal with your bank, lower your principal. We'll buy you a pony, give you the ability to fly. We'll let you ride a unicorn. We'll give you a...
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The Hope Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the Hope Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Music for your wallet's ears. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We do it every Saturday from 10 to 1. This is Live Financial Talk Radio. You probably won't. Why do you call it winning at life? Well, some of us kind of judge how we've done by what we've saved. Our retirement system and just kind of way we're programmed is some point we'll get too tired to work. Maybe it's health or something. And how have you accumulated in this free market society wealth to not have to go and be someplace 8 to 5 every day? And some people win earlier than others. Talked to a gentleman the other day that's, you know, been retired since he is like 50. We talked to somebody in Kentwood that's retired at much earlier.
Like mid-40s.
Yeah. And then some are just, I've got a gentleman the other day that was in, and he said he has money, doesn't need it, meaning to draw income. He needs it, you know, but not to say, well, give it to me. No, he needs it. He's not giving it away, but he's not needing income or anything from it. We don't know what the future holds and what he might need, but, you know, it's and winning is judged differently along this path. And you could have somebody that just loves their work and just wants to keep working versus those that, gosh, I'm tired of this, but I have to keep going because I've not saved. And then maybe, oh my God, I'm going to have to save more because Social Security is going to end. It's going to end. Look, it says on the front page, they're going to run out of money. They're going to cut benefits. 504-260-0995. Email me, Gregory at GregoryRicks.com, or message us through the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. It's on the Winning at Life tab.
All right, so when people come to us and they're concerned that Social Security is not going to be there in the future, I got to admit, after doing this show for 7 years, I still have problems talking people out of that belief because the government's done such a horrible job with their predictions. They've done such a horrible job with all these financial issues. I can't defend them. And one of the examples that makes it so hard to defend government, 10 years ago, the CBA estimated that by 2017, this year, I always love these predictions about the year now. Go back and look when they were made. They predicted the debt held by the public, so not the total debt, but the debt held by the public, would be $4.2 trillion, which would be about 24.6% of GDP. That's what they expected 2017 to look like. Now, that debt held by the public, just a portion of the total national debt. Now, the reality is, it's 2017. How much debt's actually held by the public today? That number's $14.35 trillion. That is 76% of GDP, more than three times what the CBO predicted back in 2007. And bear in mind, total debt by the government, $20 trillion. That's 106% of GDP. So the CBO's projection was wrong by $10 trillion just a decade ago.
That's a huge miss.
Okay.
Yeah, we were off 10 million or 100 million, but 10 trillion?
So when they're off that bad by predictions on the debt, when they make similar predictions about Social Security, you necessarily have to be skeptical. They predicted in 2005 that the Social Security Trust Fund would completely run out of money in the year 2043, almost 40 years later. So, look, that's a concern. We need to do something about it. But, nah, it's not that pressing. We can kick the can down the road. Worry about the next election more so than that. Heck, I'll probably be dead by then. So, fast forward just to the next year, from 2005 to 2006, they lost a few years here. It went from being depleted in 2043 to 2040. And then by 2010, it changed to 2037. And last year's report, they estimated that...
That's what I'm looking at. Go ahead.
Social Security runs out by 2034. So now we just have 18 years to think about it instead of 40, even though it's 10 years later. But think about it. The estimate on how long they expected that money to last lost 9 years.
They are saying if they cut up to 21% across the board, it could sustain benefits through 2090. Well, they've not raised the Social Security tax on either side, employer side, in 20 years. That's what they're going to do. There's a fix right there.
Maybe a little both. Maybe raise the retirement age. I think the most politically digestible fix here is to slow the increases in your Social Security check behind inflation, so it's a cut, but it doesn't feel like a cut. It's just a spending power purchasing cut.
Yeah, where we've got people that are going to be going through where FRA's shifting from 66 to 67, there'd probably be that next phase that full retirement age starts at 68. But one of the things where most people turn it on is 62. So what you're really, if you're doing FRA at 67, 68, you're pushing more people to turn it on early. And you've got to change the incentives there as well. I think that front end part needs some restructuring. If you're going to phase it, then, you know, for that group, well, you can't start at 62. You got to start at 63 or 64 or 65. And then the deferral, where you keep, if you defer longer, should that be increased for somebody turning it on at 67? Could the deferral go 5 years, say, until 72? But then now you're taking money back out instead of keeping it in. So we might not get there. So, and that's one of the things they were looking first. And I don't know what list you have, but just in regarding that, one of the things that they agree on up there, doesn't mean they would, both sides would say, I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats, is raise the retirement age gradually to 68. But I don't see them talking about the age 62 thing, and I think that has to be tweaked as well.
Well, on the other hand, people that turn it on, they end up taking less money out of the system, so I think maybe we should do the opposite. Maybe we should allow people to turn it on at age 60. You just take like a 50% haircut, and that would probably balance some of those budget issues out.
Longevity's the problem on that when you think about it. How long are you going to be drawing it? You're starting early, but you end up taking out more because of longevity.
But if you take a big enough haircut, the math could work out. Remember, because people who delay, they make up their missed checks in about 9 years or so. So, I don't know. Look, I have a hard time arguing against people who say, man, Social Security is not going to be there, or if it's there when I retire, it's going to be severely cut. I think I'm just going to focus from here on out going forward on, all right, fine, you think Social Security is not going to be there, what's your plan B? That should change.
Go ahead.
That should change your outlook on retirement planning, because you're not expecting one of the income streams that we usually plan for to be there. So that means you're going to have to save more. That means you're going to have to set up a bigger pension-like annuity or income stream to cover for that. Fine, we can accommodate that because you're accommodating it. And if Social Security still happens, then we have a little cushion.
I agree. A couple things they can do is increase the payroll tax, increase the payroll tax cap, like raise it to $215,000. I think it's around $127,000 right now on the payroll tax cap. The other thing we talked about, they gradually increase the age to 68. And the number one is that's listed here. And gosh, I don't necessarily agree with this because you paid for the benefit, but reduce benefits for the top 25% of earners. And you think that's just getting the rich guys? No. That 25% hits a big swath of taxpayers. And you've got too many other ways to fix it than go and do that.
All right. Last time we looked at top 25% income earners, I believe that was a household making $70,000. Is that?
Yeah. So
$66,000. Here it is. There you go. So yeah, that's not the wealthy people we're going after. The top 25%. That does sound like an elite group, but
yeah, it sounds nice from a politician standpoint. Yeah, we're gonna dial it back on the people who make a lot of money, the top 25%. And everybody's thinking, yeah, Trump and
Warren Buffett, Bill Gates,
they're the ones.
Mark Zuckerberg.
But listen to this. If they do that, reducing take-home benefits for the top 25, the budgetary shortfall would drop by an estimated 7%. So that's not like a fix. And that's probably the smallest fix versus, say, increasing the payroll tax and increasing the cap as well. I think those probably. Oh, yeah. Well, here it is. The increase in the payroll tax cap would reduce 27% of the current shortfall. Increasing the tax eliminates 60% of the estimated shortfall. So between those two right there, you've about got it done.
No free lunches. You want Social Security, we're going to have to pay for it. 504-260-0995 if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do. Coming up next, we're going to talk about how you can make a plan B. You can have your own Social Security check. It'll be a private security check. It's not even socialized. Private security checks coming up. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Hour 2, Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. We're here for two more hours. We'll do this until 1 o'clock. We do it live every Saturday. And by the way, we have a weeknight show, the Daily Wrap. Of course, Winning at Life, too. We're going to measure things. Are we winning or are we not? Are you on that path to winning? That's a lot of people want to come in and find that out. I am your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Still coming up on the show in the noon hour, we're going to replay some audio from interview Maria Bartiromo with Donald Trump, talking fiscal issues with the President of the United States. None of these little gossipy things, who said what, or someone misspeak, or Holocaust references. No, things that affect your money. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app and float us a text message there. Be a part of the Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. You may have noticed that we haven't been plugging our next Gregory Ricks live event because we're booked up. And, the last event was great. We had to drag in two extra tables, though, because the demand was so high. I don't want people to be, you know, hanging out the windows and hanging from the ceiling just to come to the event. So, If you're looking to come meet the crew, get a financial first date with Gregory Ricks and Associates, your next Gregory Ricks live event is June 1st, and that one's going to be open. Men and women are welcome to, for this one. We're really looking forward to Wednesday, though.
Well, let's pick back up where we were leaving off on Social Security, because one of the things you had talked about is if you're not secure in that, how about build your own?
Yeah, what's your plan B? All right, I'm not going to talk you out of Social Security collapse. Let's just assume you're right. And let's financially plan accordingly.
Going to have to save more.
Right.
But, you know, I look at Social Security as a guaranteed system. It's not a risk. It's not stock market. It's not moving around. It's kind of one of those things, you know, it's like a pension. I look at Social Security like a pension, that you're going to get that check every month from now on.
It is a defined benefit.
In a way, there is some spousal continuation to it, that the spouse gets or keeps the larger check of the two being paid out. And this kind of ties into our caller in the first hour, one of the callers, regarding he was considering putting a portion of his assets in an income type of annuity. And I don't speak, and I'm not talking about annuitization, but building something that has an income rider that increases in an income base by a certain percentage each year, and then guarantees a payout the rest of your life along with spousal continuation. So you're receiving a guaranteed benefit. And even if you believe Social Security is going to be around, I think those tools, once again, maybe should be considered in your overall mix, having a portion of pension-like income, knowing there's a monthly check going to kick out. You know, one of the things I always go back to is what are 401ks for? And why do we save for retirement? Because back before there was 401ks, what was there? Defined benefit plans, pensions. And it's where we did reach a peak. What was it? We covered it on the show a while back. I think it was
early 70s,
yeah. Is where it peaked. A little better than 50% of the people had pensions. Now it's continuing to drop, but it's less than 25%. But you don't have to have a company do it for you. You can do it yourself. And then really, what's the purpose of the 401k? To kick out income. You can do it non-guaranteed, or you can do it guaranteed, meaning an insurance company is going to back those payments and they're going to go from now on. It is something to think about, is creating your own pension systems.
Yeah, so if you have $1 million without thinking about financial products, and you're like, all right, I need about $50,000 a year to live off of, you know, the old way of thinking, and you would just peel off $50,000 a year from your million and it would last 20 years. You put it in an annuity, let's just for mass sake say you get 5%, so you make five, that would be $500,000.
It's not unreasonable to think 50, of a 5% payout depending on age and spousal continuation. And it's going to vary a little from company to company. But when we're talking about those, we're not talking about annuitization or annuicide, meaning you've turned on those assets and they're going to kick out like that. You can't change your mind. You can't undo it. But with a fixed indexed annuity with an income rider, there are those that you can turn on the income, you can turn it off, you can turn it back on, you can turn it off and say, I just want to remove the assets. You don't give up the underlying assets. They don't just completely disappear like annuicide.
So your $1 million can last you for the rest of your life. You may not get that exact same check every month, or you may not get the $50,000 exactly, but the checks won't run out. I'm just saying, it may be a little more, maybe a little less. It's not a defined necessarily.
If we're building an income rider, that is a defined benefit. It's going to pay out that check every month. There's some companies that actually have where the income can be linked to indexes and the income can increase over time depending on how, say, the S&P 500 or the Dow does. But pure and simple, we don't have clients' checks change. Once that income is turned on, it's going to go that way, meaning it's not going to go down. If you're using certain ones that go up, then, yeah, those have the ability to go up. If you live long enough and low enough yield, could the underlying account be drained down? Yes. Do the checks stop? No, they don't. Now, if you go hit that account up for money, saying, oh, I need $15,000, and take it take five from each of my accounts. You are affecting future income. But, you know, best laid plans, yeah, you've got a guaranteed check from now on from that company.
So there is a hope for a plan B. We'll get back to that in just a second. Homer in Gulfport, you're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Homer?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Doing good. And you?
All right, doing good. Got a couple of questions. I'm going to hit you first with Social Security since you're talking about that. I just want to clarify, if I go to full retirement age and my wife retires at 62, when I kick the bucket, will she be able to get my full Social Security check?
She is.
Okay, so there won't be no penalty for her.
Yeah, there still is some penalty because really it's not that they swap checks. They just credit that difference to her. It's a little bit more technically to that, but she did start with a haircut on that. For the most part, most of the benefit does transfer, if not all, on
so
that.
So then what you're saying is when I kick the bucket, then she'll have a haircut on my full Social Security.
I'm going to say this way, not really. Because what you've done by waiting is you've created the larger check to pass on to her. And it's not that they purely swap checks. There's a technical way of doing it, but in the end result is she's getting your check is the way to look at it. That makes it a lot simpler that she's going to get your check. So if you had waited to 70 to start it, that's the check that's being left behind. It's not unusual where you wait to full retirement age and she starts early. That happens a lot. Remember, more than half of recipients start at age 62. I just like the planning that you're doing, and what we advocate is some deferral by one of them, if not both.
Yeah. Well, see, my situation with me being 7 years older, I kind of like her to enjoy some of retirement with me before I go on.
Yeah, not a problem there. And there's cases where, because of money needs or wants, yeah, turn on one at 62. Yeah. I had a discussion with a family the other day about him deferring to FRA, but it just makes sense to turn hers on.
All right. Have you ever heard of this? And her work was with the government. At when she hits age 60, she's going to have 20 years where she can do her full retirement through them. They have what they call a supplement for Social Security that would pay her so much for them 2 years in between till she reaches age 62 to turn on her Social Security.
She worked for an oil company?
No, she works for the TSA.
Okay. Yeah, that's not out the norm. A lot of companies' benefits do that.
Okay. But, the stipulation is she would get that supplement for 2 years, but she would be required to turn on at 62 then.
Well, not necessarily required to turn on. It's just they know she's able to turn it on, so they're stopping the benefit, the supplement, at 62.
Okay.
And normally what happens is then you go in and turn on Social Security and you're still getting that income that you've gotten used to, but you're not required to.
Okay. All right. Now, next question, different subject. You know, I'm in the middle of a job change, and I've gone from having a 401k at my old job. Now I'm only going to have a simple IRA at my new one, which is only allowing me to put in, up to $15,000 a year with it. And I know I can do, after talking with you and Cody, that I can also contribute to a traditional IRA, the $6,500.
Yes.
Okay, my question is, in my 401k so far this year, I had contributed just about $7,000. is does that count or apply in any way to on my new job with the simple IRA about the 15?
401k has different rules than the simple.
Okay. I'm talking about this simply for tax purposes. I'll be able to claim that, say $6,500 I did in my 401k this year, plus claim my $15,000 I'll do in my simple IRA with the new place, plus the $6,500 I'll do to the traditional IRA.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I like the yes answers. That sounds good. I just want to make sure because I've got to go set this simple IRA up Monday. Because I start Tuesday with the new job, and I've already got Cody, and I think Andrew's already looked at. I sent them, and they've picked out what I should invest in.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on the new job. Have a happy Easter.
Thank you very much, Homer in Gulfport. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Hey, ladies, listen up. 9 out of 10 women will be the sole decision maker when it comes to finance, much more than men. Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Wednesday, April 19th, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. Come learn about finance, retirement, Social Security, health care, and more. Gregory Ricks and our Total Wealth Authority will be in attendance. Bring your questions. A Q&A session will be held at the end. Reserve your seat. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, oh, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason, because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
The title companies, at least the ones that Tracy and I work really closely with, and the lenders that we work closely with, they know their stuff, and that makes our lives a whole lot easier.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Speaking with somebody the other day, I said, how's that car repair coming? It's not ready yet, but I've got a bigger problem. I've got to come up with the $500 on the deductible. Yeah, that's running things pretty tight, isn't it? You know what? A lot of people do that. It's where we talk about, I've got to start saving money for retirement. I've got to put some money away. What do you have? Well, I don't have anything yet, but I'm wanting to get started. How much savings do you have? Well, I don't really have any savings. We're going to start with savings, because the last thing you need is to say, put that money into securities or a safe money tool, and all of a sudden you're needing to go grab that money, and it might be expensive to go pull it back out.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You've been saying you need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. kind of tie everything together that's happened during the week and what's headed our way. Scary stuff out there right now. This is Winning at Life. If you want to join the conversation, get a financial fix for a better tomorrow. Yes, this is live Financial Talk Radio, 504-260-0995.
Mike in New Orleans, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mike?
Hey, guys. Good morning. So I just switched jobs. I was like 18 years in an electrician's union, and we have an annuity plan through there that money went into it based on hours I worked. It wasn't something I actually put my money into, but I have a, for me, what's a sizable piece of money in there, and there's no longer a mechanism to keep adding to it. And I'm worried that I could, you know, possibly lose a lot and not be able to gain it back. I'm not real sure what I should do with it.
Are you able to move it?
Well, with my new company, they have a 401k, and I checked with that company, and they said they couldn't roll it into that, but they could maybe put it into an IRA. And I really wasn't sure if that was a better way to go or
Yeah. Typically, you're able to roll old company plan money into new company plan. IRS approves it. The plan could have particular rules why it doesn't, or it might be a conflict with the way the union plan is set up. And that's what I would want a little bit more information about. Since it's an annuity, how is the union plan set up? I would like to see the summary plan description, or if we were working together, one of the things we would do is pick up the phone and do a conference call with the plan administrator to get some clarification on how it works, to know then what are the options there. You know, is it where it's going to stay inside that annuity? Or is it something they said, well, we're not releasing it until you turn 65? There could be a number of things going on there that affects that transition.
All right.
Address the idea if he can roll it over, why he may prefer an IRA over rolling it over into his new 401k.
Yeah, and it's not just, hey, let's move it to the new 401k. This is an opportunity to where you could roll it over to an IRA, which was mentioned to you as one of those options. But, you know, from a estate planning standpoint, it gives you more flexibility. Also, from if you're kind of low risk, risk averse, gives you other options than equities in the 401k. And it gives you the whole universe of financial tools and help that you could receive on that block of money. It's kind of like, let's assign it a different job than the other money. It gives you that opportunity. So that's something to consider as well.
Okay.
So it might be a good thing that you can't if it turns out that way. If you need help, just give us a call at the office. Weekday business hours is 504-832-9200 for everyone.
See, now Homer liked it because you gave him a simple yes or no answer and boom, problem solved. Mike has a bunch of homework to do now. But at least he
Exactly. Let's talk to the old job or union plan administrator to see how that animal works.
Now, what are these guys telling fellas like Mike here when they ask what their options are? Do they really know the advantages and disadvantages in rolling it over to a 401k versus an IRA?
They're not going to give advice.
Right.
That's not what they do. Here, you can roll it here. Oh, this we can roll it to an IRA. I'm a registered investment advisor. Advisor is the important part there. They're clerks at the plan. They're not there. They don't want that risk. They don't want that exposure to giving advice that might not be suitable and getting sued. They're just not going to do that.
And how rare of a bird are you?
Let's see. There's out of some, what's the number of financial? There's over 300,000 financial professionals in the country. Mm-hmm. About 10% of them, 31,000, are registered investment advisors. Problem there, though, Most are dual licensed. There's only about 5,000 that are registered investment advisors only, and we fall into that group.
Yeah, and so the broker-dealer is what you're talking about, the dual guys?
You have a advisor side, and then they have a sales hat on side.
It's one of those things where, like, if you get a new car, like if you get a Chevy Nova, then all of a sudden when you get on the street, you notice all the Chevy Novas. Ever since you told me about the dual license, I've been seeing broker-dealer disclaimers on a lot of commercials and other radio shows and even on TV. Some of the guys that are on maybe Sunday morning, without being specific.
We had a fella come in the other day to the office. It's kind of the regional rep that ties in with Global Financial and Fidelity Investments that we work with. So we just kind of consider them one because Fidelity is the custodian. And I brought up a situation where we have concern about another advisor, say in the region, saying stuff that he shouldn't say and not having clarity, very vague, which is concerning. And I asked him, I said, well, who in this region are you talking to see who he has connections with? Because he said he's been visiting offices from here to Houston. So he looked at the list, gave me a few names, and I said, oh, okay, that one. He has assets through you? He said, yeah, not a lot, but he does. And I said, well, his website doesn't say that. And that's where I kind of brought up the concern that he might be operating outside of doing what's right or compliant, meaning he's not compliant, which could cause his firm a problem. But it's strange they're not even listing a website. So, you know, there's so much to this on doing the right thing and being compliant and actually being a fiduciary. So that means that firm is not only dual license, they're doing the dual license through multiple firms, not just one. Whereas we're with Fidelity Investments. That's it.
You don't know how hard it is to find a Gregory Ricks in this world. How many are there? About 3,000?
I think it's about 5.
Yeah. Total players in the NFL, since there's 53 on a roster, 32 teams, it's 1,700 players. So there's only about twice as many of you as NFL players. Active, contracted, on a roster.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a pretty thin little crowd you run with.
Yeah, you don't cross paths with NFL players every day, do you?
No, rarely.
Rarely.
All right, so April 15th, income tax is on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, well, since you've brought that up, and I'm glad you did because I want to talk about it in this hour and touch on it again in the next hour. We were getting calls in the office, and we were closed on Good Friday. Market's not open, so I was checking messages that were left by our service. And there was a number of people that called in, and I actually called them back, and I didn't reach them, but I left messages, and Tom called back again to thank me for reaching out and helping them on that. What's the concern is, like, everybody's thinking, what? When's the 15th? Oh, isn't that Sunday? Yeah.
Today.
Oh, 15th is today?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you've got till the 18th to have contributions there. And basically what the message I left him was, you're good on Monday to get that in, and we can get it to the custodian on Wednesday. I'm sorry, on the 18th.
Wait, so they're not asking about paying their tax bill. They're talking about contributions?
Yeah. It's like, I won't get my IRA contribution in. A lot of people do that at last moment. We had so much traffic last week, people showing up here. I've got some money to add to my IRA. I've got these checks to drop off.
Oh, they want to drop it off so it doesn't count against their AGI, so then go ahead and deduct it? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, it's contributions. Whether it's deductible or not.
But how is it tied to the tax day?
Because that's when it has to be in as tax filing day, when the 1040 is due. Extensions do not help you on IRA contributions. Now, SEP contributions, you could delay up until your actual filing with extensions because you don't know your number unless you've prepared the taxes on what you can contribute. But IRA contributions, Roth contributions have to be done by the initial filing date.
All right. That sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure you've had to tell me that before. All right. Coming back, I've got some statistics, some facts on the income tax. I myself am not a big fan. I think we can live without it. But you're not going to like these statistics coming up. Financial situations, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
If we take a dollar and double it every year, then we go out 20 years, you'll have $1,048,576. But is Uncle Sam just going to let that fly that way for you? So if we're doing this and we go out 20 years and we've had 33% peeled off of our doubling each year, so with being taxed, what do you think that number is? $750,000, $28,000 is what you would have. So you go from this massive amount of money of $1 million to less than $28,000 when you consider taxes and fees.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You're looking to expand your family, aren't you? Might be a little extra hair around the house, some vet bills, a little extra noise, but it's totally worth it. Do the right thing. Don't buy. Adopt. From Baton Rouge to New Orleans to Biloxi, Kismet Pet Adoptions will help you expand your family. KismetPetAdoptions.com. K-I-S-M-E-T PetAdoptions.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
One thing, you definitely should accelerate your payments. It makes a big difference by just making an extra two payments a year, because that's one thing we'd like to retire is that mortgage when they retire. Boom, you've added cushion.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or GregoryRicks.com.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hi, James. Hi, Mr. Ricks. I love your show every day. I have a question on IRA.
Hi, I want to state first, I'm a big fan of your show. There's a ton of knowledge you guys give out, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I listen to you guys as often as I can, and thank you very much for your advice, Gregory, okay. And I'll be calling your office. Thank you so okay. much.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5, WRNO. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to GregoryRicks.com.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. Ready room at the Hotel California.
Any time of year, you can find it here. One of old-time favorite songs. Hotel California. This is Winning at Life. It is the weekly wrap, live financial talk radio. And yeah, we just gave you that update. You still have time to get those IRA contributions in on Monday. Don't wait longer than that. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, what could it be that, when do I turn on Social Security? Should I buy a mutual fund or exchange-traded fund? Should I get a income rider on an annuity or not? How about calling 504-260-0995 800-795-9995. Email gregory@gregoryricks.com. The website's gregoryricks.com. There's site chat there. Or do as all the cool kids have done. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Yeah, and if you're going to ask Gregory, hey, I want to get in one of these super secret, awesome backdoor 26F investments. How do I do that? We actually have the video of us dealing with that earlier in the week. It's on the Winning at Life VIP only group right now. Okay, so if you want to find out about that, you have to be a part of the Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. Send us a message. I'll let you in. It's no big deal. It's not that exclusive. You're in. You're listening to the show. You're in.
Oh, you eliminated the 29-page form?
Yeah, right. The extreme vetting. I've got one of those. I've got one of those X-ray machines. It zims around you like the airport. We got to make sure you're not carrying anything.
Yeah. What are you at? What was the first? How many shows you listened to? You remember, like on Walking Dead, when they were a few years back when they were meeting.
How many zombies have you?
How many zombies have you killed? Have you killed any humans? Depending on the answers, you're in or out.
Oh, the third question was why. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. So, how many shows have you listened to?
How many times have you called
in? And why?
Maybe how many times have you called in would be good, too.
Yeah, so, and then why?
All right. So the income tax, people act like we can't live without it, but we lived the first half of this country without it. It didn't come into effect until 1913. And in that year, the top marginal income tax bracket was 7%.
Government didn't need much money then, huh?
What is it today?
39.5%.
Yeah, 39.6%. The marginal income tax bracket range. So what was the smallest income tax bracket range? It was 1% at the time. Now it's either 0 or if you start paying, if you qualify, 10%. So it used to be for if you do qualify for the income tax, you paid from either 1 to 7%. Now it's 10 to 39.6%. In 1913, there were 400 pages in the tax code. Anyone want to try? Angie, you want to guess how many pages are in the tax code for this year? Gregory, you have any idea what the, you know, it's an incredible number.
123,000 pages.
That's a great guess. 75,000 pages. 74,608.
Yeah, that's still ridiculous. Mine was a ridiculous guess, but I just figured it was more than we'd want to read.
This has to be at least illegal, if not unconstitutional, because it is wholly impossible for one person to read, digest, and apply 75,000 pages of code every year to their taxes. It is not possible. Angie?
I was just going to ask, are we expected to go through this code and know it?
Ask Wesley Snipes if they enforce IRS tax law. Ask who else got caught up in taxes. Ask Phil Mickelson. Ask Willie Nelson if they enforce tax laws around here, if you're held accountable for all 75,000 pages.
You are. You just may not ever read it.
Okay. The first, the standard deduction here. Now, we're gonna do it in today's dollars, but I'll do this backwards. Today, the standard deduction. If you make less money than this, you don't even have to worry about filing a 1040. Today it's $12,600. Now, in inflation-adjusted dollars, where was the income ceiling on you being accountable for taxes in 1913?
The ceiling to where you became accountable?
The ceiling to where you didn't even have to file a 1040.
And it's $12,000 now, uh-huh. And this was 1920?
1913.
Had to be $250.
In today's dollars, it's $98,000. So it's right at $100,000. So if in today's dollars you make...
Really?
If you make less than $100,000, you don't even have to bother filling out a tax form.
Did they give you the actual number for 1913?
No. Not in this article.
But adjusted dollars.
Yeah. So when the income tax started in 1913,
You'd make some pretty good money and not have to pay.
Yeah, dude, the income tax was just for wealthy people. Remember, the if you're in the top 25% of income earners now, it's, what, $68,000? So we're talking maybe the top 5% of income earners had to file taxes back then. The first year, 358,000 Americans qualified to file a 1040. Today it's $148 million. So this thing, once, remember, they pass it. Look, it's just going to affect like the top 5% of income earners. Most of them are just going to pay 1%. Maybe the super extreme rich are going to pay 7%. But we can all live with that. Anyone who makes under $100,000, this is not going to affect you at all. And so it passes under those pretenses, and then the qualifications change almost immediately, because the next year we went into World War I. By the time we were out of the World War, that top tax income bracket went from 7% to 70%. So it's one of the old slippery slope, or the nose under the camel's tent, or all kinds of cute little idiomatic phrases. They ring very true when it comes to the income tax. Tax revenues that first year, if you put it in today's dollars, would be $17 billion. In 2017, we're expected to rake in $3.3 trillion. Let's see here. Oh, there's one more statistic here. The top tax bracket threshold, the amount of money you had to make every year to pay that top tax bracket rate, to pay that 7%. What do they consider the super rich, where you had to pay a gouging 7% of your income in taxes? $11.8 million. Today, the top tax bracket, $466,000.
Here's something I was interested in. Growth of the federal government can be divided into two parts, before and after 1913, when the 16th Amendment was passed to the Constitution, which permitted federal income tax. It was ratified. Allergies bothering me this morning. Federal spending was a mere 2.5% of GNP. And today it's 10 times that level. I was just kind of interested how much all of a sudden it took off and growing. Oh, we got to hire all these people. We got to have a War Department. And then we got to have a department to manage the War Department.
Well, the crazy thing about that is we still had all similar amounts of well, I don't want to say similar amounts of government, but we still had a similar size of our state governments. That's not counting state and local municipalities. They've also grown. And when you add it all up, remember we did it 2 weeks ago, the amount of money that's spent by all levels of government every year is about $7 trillion. So that's one out of every $3 that are created last year were decided, were spent by politicians. That's where it gets nasty. When you look at percentages other than numbers, I find that to be more jarring and more shocking.
Well, World War I was a period of enormous federal expansion, and the New Deal is likewise well known as a period of government growth. So we know about the New Deal. Federal growth from 1776 to 1920. The first major event in growth in the federal government was the ratification of the Constitution in 1789. Before that, U.S. was governed under Articles of Confederation. Pretty interesting article here on that. But yeah, growth took off once there was taxes. And then continued the need of more taxes.
Can we get rid of the 16th Amendment? You know I want to. And then I love having a debate on whether or not we could still function as a governance.
We wouldn't function.
Oh, we'd be fine. Look, the Social Security tax is going to pay for the Social Security. The Medicaid tax is going to pay for the Medicaid. Those are our biggest expenditures. Really, the only thing we need money more.
Medicaid or Medicare?
Medicaid is bigger than Medicare for now.
Yeah. So what about War Department? Those Tomahawks cost more than $1 million apiece.
Did we have a robust military before 1913?
Yeah, we won some more.
Yeah, so we'll still have a military. We had a military just fine before the income tax. And look, that's not our only revenue source. We still have excise taxes and fuel taxes. You know, for people who are worried about the road, that's your gas tax. This whole income tax thing is just
but
a slush fund.
You know, they built ships by hand and out of wood.
We're not going to go back to that.
Well, except for the ironclads, those were different.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
We've got a map of callers, where they call from around the country, and it's really surprising how the audience and this show has grown. Thank you to all of you that are listening through the radio in your car or at home or on the stream through the iHeartRadio app.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
Gregory Ricks & Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard.
You know, once you pass away, it's not something that you can get a mulligan on. It has to be done ahead of time, and the results of it not being done ahead of time can be very, very drastic.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, GregoryRicks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
You're listening and have a 401k. You always want to make sure you know what's pre-tax and what's after-tax dollars in that account and make them separated. If both of those monies get rolled over to an IRA, the way I define it is it's like pouring cream in your coffee and you're saying, oh no, I don't like cream in my coffee. How can I get that out? How can you get it out? You can't. But there is a form where you can fill out when you take distributions that you'll simultaneously take out pre-tax and after-tax dollar at the same time so you don't get taxed again. So you've got to keep up with it. I would rather separate it. If I don't want cream in my coffee, we're never mixing the two.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Daily dose of financial wisdom. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. The phone number if you want to get involved, 504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us, send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Come by Facebook and say hi. Just checking out the goings on online. Go ahead.
I don't think we survive without the tax code. We wouldn't be able to give Libya money, Israel.
Oh, good
we
point.
How much money did we put in an airplane and send to Iran for some? It was a thank you to them or an apology. I don't know. Was that $500 million in cash?
Oh, I think that was like $2 billion in stone cold cash.
Really?
Well, I remember we took pallets of money.
They played hell getting that for me if I was president.
Hang on. How much money did we send to Iran?
Did they drop some bags out somewhere in a forest on the way there?
Is that a reference to something I don't remember?
No, it's a reference to all that. Cash.
Okay.
Really? Cash.
Okay. There was a $400 million payment the U.S. sent to Iran, and then there was another $1.3 billion that was sent to Iran after those hostages were freed. But that was to settle a lawsuit from the 70s, since before the Iranian Revolution, and
There wasn't any, gavel that swung in a courtroom, but yeah, that just got settled now. It has nothing to do with the hostages, that's for sure.
When did we need to settle it? Did they settle up with the hostages? And I think they owe more than we owed them.
Yeah, did y'all fix all the burn damage in our embassy yet? Is that what y'all did? Mark in Picayune, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, Mark, hey. How can we help you, sir?
About 40 years ago, I went to school with a friend of mine, and he later on went to work for a life insurance policy. He hit me up, and I went ahead, and since he was a buddy of mine, I went ahead and bought a life insurance policy from him. It was a whole life policy. And some 10 or 15 years later, he started going on the other side of the law with his business and got canned for some legal reasons. And I went ahead and thought that I had done away with this life insurance policy. I thought I had liquidated it and got my money out of it and everything. Well, about 2 months ago, I get a notification in the mail from this life insurance policy saying I still got money with them. And I call them up, and they say I've got $12,000 sitting there.
Wow.
And
nice surprise, huh?
Yeah, really. I went ahead and cashed it out because we needed some money at that time. And I was just calling to see, is that going to be a taxable event for me?
Did they tell you what the cost basis was? And on life insurance, the cost basis is based upon how much premiums was paid in. Like, okay, let's say if you add up all the premiums you were paying over that time, and let's say that was $6,000, and you're getting out $12,000. Well, you've had $6,000 of growth. You'll have a tax basis on the growth. On the other hand, if you paid $15,000 in premiums and you're getting out $12,000, there is no tax, but there's no deduction either for the excess premiums.
Yeah. The paperwork that I got didn't mention anything like that.
Yeah, you could call them back up. They're still going to have your records on that and ask them what the cost basis is. And for everybody listening, and that's one of the important things, even if it's, say, an annuity that you've put money in and getting money out from a non-qualified standpoint, you always want to know what is the cost basis.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the info.
Okay. Congrats again on
the free
lost money. Finding lost money.
Yeah.
It always helps, believe me.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening to Picayune. You have a good Easter. Yeah, and I don't want to say for the free money.
He found money.
He did pay for it, though.
Yeah, but it's just when you're not expecting it and it just shows up like, what, $12,000? That could buy me a boat. You know, it just depends on what they're needing or say, okay, that kills the credit cards. It's just so many things when it just you get that surplus, okay. Well, we're gonna drop this into something for our future. Could be that as well. He sounded excited about it, though. He just was, is there a tax bill? Might be. Don't know. But he can make a call and find out.
Certainly worth it. I'll take a tax bill for $12,000 and forgotten money. Wasn't there an episode of Seinfeld where George has a dilemma? He's like, we did that thing when I was in middle school where we went out and we put $50 in a savings account. And they're like, yeah, with the magic compounding interest, you'll have some... He's like, I forgot all about it. I just got a call from the bank. I've got like, $5,000 or something. And they're like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to reinvest? He goes, what? No. I'm taking it out. I'm going to spend it. Like there wasn't even an option. Like, what do you mean? What am I going to do with it? I'm going to take it out and I'm going to spend it immediately on me. He's going to end all that magic growth. And it's funny because you're not supposed to like the Seinfeld characters and how dense he is to not say, hey, if it grew to $5,000 in this span of time, think of what it'll grow to in the next, two decades. Didn't even cross his mind. Yeah, and that's kind of thinking about that with Mark. Hey, if that $12,000 turned around and you put it in something safe and, you aim at doubling your money every 10 years and 20 years, that could be another, $48,000, something to that effect? No. Took it all out. I would do the same thing. Don't feel bad, Mark. Hey, so we had a pretty good what?
We're going to talk some numbers regarding tax information.
Go, do it.
Oh,
do
you've
it.
Got something
I,
there.
No, I see the twinkle in your eye, and this
no,
that's the Kick
but I've
James
not
twinkle.
To it yet, okay. But you already have something.
Yeah.
But I like doing this.
James, keep talking while I'm plotting your death over there. Now I can't concentrate on what I was going to say here. Look, I put on the, if you go to Winning It Life, the Facebook group, not the VIP closed out secret group, but the public one where we usually do our Facebook live streaming. I threw the question up there. Do you think we can survive just fine in America if we repeal the income tax and then parentheses 16th Amendment?
We might could, but a lot of others won't.
Oh, the people we hand money to?
Yeah, yeah, like you, 400 million.
Yeah, but that's peanuts. And the way we pass it around, yeah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. It probably costs them more money to be friends with us than they get.
Oh, I stopped by one of those famous coffee shops this morning. Got a cafe latte grande, two Splenda, and a little sandwich. And it's about $8. You kind of say, well, you know, gosh, that's kind of expensive for coffee. I should have made it when I was by the office. I wouldn't have spent any dollars there. But James just said, well, it's not much. But you're $8 here, $8 in the afternoon, $8 tomorrow, $8 Monday, three times 365. Maybe you skip a few days here and there. Jeez, that's a lot of money spent on coffee. Okay, well, when you start doing that with government, $400 million here, $500 million there, $120 million here, $1 billion there, next thing you know, we're running a trillion-dollar deficit.
Oh, sure.
You can't do that when we get off this tax system, but are you replacing it with something? Is there this flat tax or
no.
National sales tax
no.
or... Border tax, VAT tax.
There will still be import and export taxes, you know, excise taxes. There still will be corporate taxes. There still will be all those little chintzy taxes on your cell phone bill. There will still be taxes.
Will
every
there
time
still
you...
be state tax under your
yes,
plan?
Yes. States can do whatever they want. I would encourage them to whittle that down as little as possible, but I'm not going to try and convince California of anything, and y'all leave Texas
oh, no.
and Florida
they,
alone.
They all might just ramp it up.
Let them. Let them. We'll steal all their businesses.
Is the federal going to send a bill to the state
the federal,
for a piece of that?
Listen, before we had the income tax in the early 1800s, the federal government used to send money to the states. Anything that they didn't spend and they had left over would get sent to the states. And we know this because some states, like Michigan, they timed their annexation before the deadline so they could get that check back from the feds. See, and one of the things that changed that was the amendment right after the 16th. The 17th Amendment changed senators being appropriated from the state legislatures to popular votes. That's why the states wouldn't want to give up power before this little era here. And they didn't want spending because they got the money. If they could hold the government below, if they could hold their spending below their income, they would get that money back. And there was incentive
well, here,
to be fiscally
in
responsible.
In a way, we're not fully taxed on what we should be, if you think about this. And listen at this. The USA's budget deficit for the first 6 months of fiscal year 2017 was $527 billion. That's 6 months ending with March 31st of 17. Was $527 billion deficit. Okay, in one sense, you said, well, we should eliminate it. Well, part of it is eliminate because they don't charge us for what the government actually spends. Okay, we're already a trillion short, and I don't know. And I think, you know, I just heard something about we had record tax revenue.
We did, yeah.
And we're still... half a trillion short. That's ugly.
We don't have a revenue
and you're
problem.
To eliminate it.
Our problem's not revenue. Our problem is spending.
We can just print the money since we don't have income tax. Kind of what? We don't have enough income tax. So what do? Print it. Print some more.
Coming up next, a little bit of Trump action, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. Actually, that we're starting the third hour. We start this at 10 o'clock every Saturday. It is live Financial Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Still coming up on the show. We're going to run down some more financial news of the week, including an interesting interview our president had with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business. We don't play a lot of our president on the show, but when he's going to talk about things that directly affect your money, oh yeah, we'll bring that to you. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Send us a message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Join some of our conversations that we're having on Facebook at both the Winning It Live public page, and if you want to be a part of the Winning It Live VIP page, just let me know. I'll add you to the group. Don't mind at all. Something we talked about on the Thursday edition of the Daily Wrap, though, for the 14th straight week, U.S. oil rig counts rose again. Another 11 were activated this week, the highest since April 2015. That rig count is now up to 683. And without remembering the actual number, it was down in the low 400s or whatever when it bottomed out about this time last year. And they have been furiously poking holes in the ground. So how long is this oil going to last above 50? You know, you have geopolitics with upward pressure. You have the rig count with downward pressure. You have the slowing demand with upward pressure. You have the increased fines with downward pressure. There's a constant market battle for this one commodity.
Just a reminder, you have till Monday to get those IRA contributions sent off to your custodian because the tax deadline is April 18th this year. Now, you were bringing up, we were talking about Social Security and everybody always concerned about it going away. And one of the fixes was to reduce benefits on the top 25%.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people think, well, yeah, they're going to get the rich. The top 25%, let's see, based on tax year 2014, I'm just double checking, I think you gave this number or real close to it. AGI to be in that top 25% is $77,714. I think that's the number you gave. To be in the top 10%, if they said, well, it's the top 10%, it'd be $133,000. The top 5 is $188,996. And the top 1%, any idea?
$380,000?
$465,626.
There's not a whole lot of people who get a salary like that. I mean, when you get into high income like that, a lot of that is, you know, return on investments and not necessarily a regular old paycheck, isn't it?
Yeah, it's... Oh, here's something else pretty important. Congressional action that was taken on December 9th of 2016 avoided our nation's 13th government shutdown since 1980. The agreement bought Congress 20 additional weeks, which kind of runs out Friday, April 28th of this year. Congress started a two-week recess on Friday, the 7th, and will not return back to work until Monday, April 24th, giving them a whopping 5 days to agree on fiscal year 2017 spending levels. If they can do that, hell, we should have gotten health care done in 4.
Well, it's the same result. We just kicked the can and kept the same health care system.
What do you think? Fixing it in 5 days, or 5 days gives them enough time to kick it down the road?
Talked to a congressman yesterday. He said they're going to do a continuing resolution. They're going to freeze in place the current spending levels along the baseline. So it's technically a spending increase in the parlance that you and I recognize is what's an increase and a decrease. But according to the baseline budgeting scheme that they use in D.C., they're freezing current spending levels in place.
Yeah, they're kicking the can.
It's a good old can kick. The only question is it going to be a 60-day or a 90-day kick? It's all disappointing.
Better do 90.
It's all disappointing. This is some of the stuff that was supposed to change. And while we do have a very different president.
What is it they do up there?
What do you mean, what do they do up there?
Congress.
They spend money. It takes a lot of work to spend $4 trillion a year, Greg. You act like that's it's easy to... You know how much time...
Actually, I had thought about that a little bit ago, that, it takes a lot of guys and a lot of time to spend $4 trillion a year.
If we spent $1 billion a day, how long would it take for you and I to spend $4 trillion? $1 billion a day.
Never.
4,000 days.
We don't have the lifespan.
I hope we live 4,000 days. What is that? Just like 10 years? I guess it'd be 15 years, something like that. $1 billion a day, though. I mean, could you spend $1 billion in a day? I mean, that's a ridiculous. Let's make it something humane. $1 million a day. Now you don't have the lifetime. A trillion is a million millions.
A thousand billion.
Yeah, I think a million million sounds bigger, even though it's the same number.
Yeah. No, what would you say if you could spend $1 billion a day? Could you? I doubt it. But what if you were forced to, or off with your head? You couldn't. You'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Does anyone need me to subsidize a shrimp on a treadmill or anything? Anything. I'll do it. Whatever. Department of Education. Fine. We'll do it. We're going to give some money to Egypt. Fine. We'll do it. So what do we need? We need an airplane that costs $480 million a pop. Give me a whole fleet.
Social Security benefits are taxed by just 13 U.S. states. 37 states do not count monthly Social Security benefits as taxable income at the state level. Well, good.
Well, most of those states don't tax any income. So there's really
13
only
13 don't tax any.
Yeah, there's really only 4 states that give any sort of deference to Social Security. Now, where's the part where you tell me how I'm so wrong that we can't live without the income tax? I thought these statistics were going to be burying me at this point.
I think the first one that I gave, the $527 billion that we're short right now in the past 6 months, deficit spending. But once again, depending on how you look at it outside the box, in one sense, you kind of say, yeah, that right there proves we don't need it because we run fine spending what we don't have. That's a lot of treasuries to sell.
It is. And then this
go back to how come the Federal Reserve has a balance sheet of $4.6 trillion?
Oh, well, if you ask me that question, I'll say because we got off the gold standard. We ended the Bretton Woods Agreement.
Yeah, but we're creating money that's not there, mm-hmm. and they threw it in the system, and they're talking about to start taking it out later this year. But it just created it. So... And we've created $20 trillion that we didn't have. That's the budget deficit. Not going to get fixed.
I think we'd be fine without it. We had everything we needed before.
I'm not so sure.
Well, look, the only things that are killing us as far as the budget goes are things we created after the income tax was passed. So if we return the federal government back to what it was doing before 1913... which some of us would consider its constitutional bounds, its boundaries as envisioned by the founding fathers, all this would fix itself. 70% of the spending at the federal level is redistribution of wealth. It's taking $1 from a guy by force and giving it to someone who didn't do anything for it or is not an employee of the government. So, people focus on Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and rightfully so.
Well, entitlements is the biggest problem.
Sure, but when you think about public housing, you think about food stamps, and you think about and unemployment's a huge one now. Because unemployment at the federal level now behaves as what welfare was sold to us as. It's just this temporary safety net for a few months for if you unexpectedly lose your job, you don't have to necessarily go into full poverty and be foreclosed on, and you can still put food on the table. That's what welfare was supposed to be. Now welfare is a hammock, and unemployment serves the role as that temporary safety net. You get rid of all that, and you can cut the income tax, which is only half of the revenue that goes to the federal government anyway, and we'll be ahead.
Well, we're not getting much callers about the federal budget deficit. Maybe we'll get callers based on this. The average decline of the S&P 500 during the 11 bear markets that have taken place since the end of World War II is?
I have no guess.
34%. Do you think we'll have a bear market again?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there's 34% moving the wrong way. Something to account for.
All right, let's get started with the Trump on Maria Bartiromo. Okay. Let's go ahead and walk right into it. Cut one.
We're going to have tax reform at some point very soon. I think we're doing very well on health care. It's been very much misreported that we failed with health care. We haven't failed. We're negotiating, and we continue to negotiate. And we will save perhaps $900 billion. You know, if you look at the kind of numbers that we're talking about, that's all going back into the taxes. And we have to do health care first to pick up additional money so that we get great tax reform. So we're going to have a phenomenal tax reform, but I have to do health care first. I want to do it first to really do it right. And after that, we're going to start on tax reform and infrastructure.
But do you have to do health care before tax reform?
Yes.
When I speak with business managers, they say tax reform is so much more impactful to moving the needle
on
economic growth.
They're
so
all right, but because I'm saving a tremendous amount, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars we're saving on health care. So we're going to have a much better plan than Obamacare, which is failing. Tax reform is going to be tough, but it won't be as tough as health care. Health care is very, very difficult.
Have you moved off of this soft deadline that your team put in place of August to get this done? Are you looking at the later in the year?
So I don't want to put deadlines. Health care is going to happen at some point. Now, if it doesn't happen fast enough, I'll start the taxes. But the tax reform and the tax cuts are better if I can do health care first.
What about infrastructure? How do you see it? When do you see it?
Very soon. I see it as part, perhaps, of the health care plan, because phase two of the health care plan, in order to get the votes, I need 60% for that. And if I put that in, the Democrats are actually going to love the infrastructure plans.
There you go. See, that's directly going to affect our money. It's going to affect the markets. Tax reform is not the first priority. Healthcare reform is still the first priority. And I'm not sure if they're going to get anything done. If this fell on its face, what if the second one falls on its face and we don't get health reform done until the third, fourth try, till after the midterms? Our taxes may not be going down as soon as we hope, Gregory Ricks.
Yes, I agree with you. It's a concern.
All right, we'll get some more reaction from Gregory and some more audio from Trump. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo.
That's where Greg's genius comes in, is just knowing to put professionals all in an environment to give the listeners of this show, and knowing that they have a platform and they can get questions.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I perked $8,000 in a traditional IRA, and I find I really need the money now because I got a $3,400 house insurance payment I can't meet. Mm. I'm wondering if I can take it out without paying a big penalty to the IRS.
What is your age?
60.
Well, good news about that is you're over age 59 and a half. So if you do indeed take a distribution from that account, you won't pay any penalty for doing so, because if you're under age 59 and a half taking money from a qualified plan, there is a 10% early withdrawal penalty.
I'll pay taxes, but not a big penalty.
Correct. There will not be an early withdrawal penalty.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200. May we all.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
I need like a racing sound to come in at this part. My favorite racing song. By the way,
have like a sound effect where he runs over a sledgehammer, maybe?
Oh, don't go
there.
Oh,
it's painful, isn't it?
Don't
hurts.
Go there.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Too soon?
Yeah,
you
know, watch out for sledgehammers laying in the road. They will mess up the floor pan of your car. One did my Camaro the other day.
Ugly. Someone on the West Bank's missing a sledgehammer. Going, some jerk on Lopalco tore up my sledgehammer, right?
Kind of messed up the underneath of my car.
All right, real quick. Winning the Life, Gregory Ricks. I'm James Parker. That's Gregory Ricks. You want to just fill him in on the story we're talking about? Can you tell the least painful short version of this?
Well, was heading to the racetrack to get a Camaro Tech to take out to the track on Sunday. And cars ahead of me, next thing I say, they clear what looks like a sledgehammer, and it's in the line with my tire. So I just kind of pivoted wheel real quick, and I must have caught the edge of the handle and sent it tumbling underneath my car. A lot of damage was done. One part was really scary, is where I was setting the damage that was done on the floor pan there, and my thought was, thank goodness it didn't come into the car.
Yeah, it could have poked through, and that would not have tickled.
No. It is scary.
Car okay?
No. It's not going on the track Sunday. It's going to get evaluated for how we're going to fix the damage.
Where was this? Was this on Lopalco?
Yeah, on the West Bank. Yeah. Bummer.
Unfortunate. Things happen. That will happen. All right, let's go to the phones. Robert in Ponchatoula, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Robert?
Hey, guys. If I wait till I'm 66 to take my Social Security, am I going to be penalized for how much money I make?
If you wait till full retirement age to start Social Security, are you going to be penalized?
Yes, such as if I took it when I was, 62, 63, I would be penalized.
Oh, yeah. If you're still working. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you started it prior to full retirement age, yeah, there's kind of a clawback if you make too much.
What about 66?
There would not be any income limits.
Okay.
If you're at full retirement age and that's 62 and some change.
66 and change.
I'm sorry, 66 and some change.
Okay,
full retirement age.
All right. Now, what about in the Medicare area of that? Would I be penalized for anything there if I made so much money?
Yeah. There is a Medicare premium that's going to be income based.
Does that check come all in one? Social Security and Medicare? I mean, is it deducted out of my Social Security?
It's deducted out of your Social Security if you're taking Social Security. If you're not, they're sending you a bill for it. And one of the things now, if you have a, if the premium goes up, it's protected among those that are drawing Social Security, because if Social Security's increased 1% and let's say the Medicare premium goes up 2%, it can't go up more than what the increase was for those receiving Social Security benefits. But if you're not, you could bear the brunt of it, those that are not paying the premium. So that happened previous year, and there was a they passed something to defer that increase. But it could happen.
Now, if I don't take it till I'm 70, what is the benefit of that, my Social Security?
You're increasing it by 8% each year you defer. It's a significant increase if you can afford to do that.
Yes. Now, 65 is when I have to go on Medicare?
Yeah, you have to contact Social Security and register for Part A.
And so am I going to automatically not be able to take private insurance and I'll just have to get subsidies?
No, if you're still working and have private insurance, you can continue with that, and Medicare would be a Part B.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I could make as much as I want after I'm 66 for Social Security, but somewhere in there I will be penalized on the Medicare end.
Could be. Just depends on how things play out, depending on how much money you're making. There's some situations where clients get a big hit. All of a sudden, they're paying several hundred a month for Medicare premium because of the income, settlement to leave the job. There's just different scenarios. Of course, another client, if he's just making huge money, yeah, he's paying a huge Medicare bill until he retires, and that's dialed back.
Okay, so
That it's a penalty, but you're paying a premium.
Right. I see what you mean. It's not really a penalty. It's just cost of living.
Yes.
So that doesn't affect my Social Security check, though.
If you're if you're not drawing it, it doesn't. You're continuing to build a mm-hmm. deferred payment.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the answer. Thank you very much.
How old are you now?
63.
All right. So 3 months before your 65th birthday, you can start that ball rolling. And you might want to, because if you delay, there's all other penalties that show up if you don't sign up for Medicaid or Medicare in time. And those are still concerns even if you're still working, right, Gregory? Because I know we set it up for my dad and he wasn't working.
Yeah, we kind of covered that. If you go off, do the Peace Corps, you could get out of the Medicare premium.
Yeah, so we almost had to send my dad to Africa. It was a mess. All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Have a good one up in Ponchatoula. Happy Easter on the North Shore.
Yeah, that was a funny conversation about your dad that day that he's – late on that, how to get out of it. One of them's
we almost had to
go help the poor in Africa.
All right, back to our Trump audio. President Trump with Maria Bartiromo. By the way, did you see the interview this week? Aside from the actual content, I just want to say Maria Bartiromo looked amazing. I think half of it's her brain that definitely helps, but I don't know if that's part of my interest in this interview, because I'm more interested in this than the Lou Dobbs interview.
Oh, yeah. I think you like the female with the strong business sense. She has it.
It's very attractive. Okay, cut two. This is Maria asked Donald Trump, hey, man, how do you feel about your accomplishments, your record of accomplishments thus far?
We've done an amazing job on regulations. We've freed it up. We've freed up this country so much, the miners and energy and the banking systems now coming to with Dodd-Frank, which is a disaster. We've freed up so much and we're getting great, great credit for it. We have done so much for so many people. I don't think that there is a presidential period of time in the first 100 days where anyone's done nearly what we've been able to do. And on top of it, we just had, during the first 100 days, a Supreme Court justice approved, not just nominated, but approved through a very, very hostile environment.
notice all of his accomplishments, aside from the approval of Neil Gorsuch, none of them went through Congress. Every single thing that he listed there, the deregulation and the changing of rolling back some of the EPA rules and changing how this business is done over here and how the government views this and this requirement. And that, it was all executive orders. He has no real congressional accomplishment.
No, and some bridges were burnt in getting that. Well, not on Republican side, but the Dems burnt some bridges trying to stop that there. So, and that was a struggle, but yeah. Nothing else has been done.
And not to necessarily discount what he's done. I mean, rolling back those regulations, that definitely helps. You know,
did Obama pass anything in the first 100 days?
Oh, yeah. The big one was that $900 billion stimulus package. And then there was a couple other things in there. But remember, he had not just a full majority in the House, but he had 60 senators. So he didn't need one Republican to vote on anything to pass it. So there was no such thing as Republican obstruction in his first 100 days.
Hence Obamacare.
Yeah, every nominee flew right through the Senate. Every bill that he wanted flew right through. In fact, he didn't have any real stoppage in his legislative agenda because even later in that first year, he got the Dodd-Frank bill rolled through, and I think that was around August, until health care popped up and some Democrats defected. He didn't have to worry about any of that. But that is that's my main concern, that of all the accomplishments he lists, none of them have gone through Congress, because the ones we need him to do next have to go through Congress. Healthcare reform has to go through Congress. Tax reform has to go through Congress. And I myself have lost a little bit of optimism that this is going to be done. And if it is done, it's going to be done at a decent pace, at a significant clip, maybe not even before the midterms.
Well, he's going to have to work with both sides of the aisle. That's what it comes down to. Can he do that?
Well, if I were one of these, you know, thousands of small businessmen in America, I would now be a little more hesitant about hiring that extra guy or opening that extra franchise or buying that new machine or expanding in some way.
Oh, you shouldn't do a blanket coverage like that. Just be hesitant about everything. Depends on your business sector. Depends on the city, the state.
All of them pay taxes, though, and all of them were hoping for that tax situation to be a little more friendly next year.
What we're looking for is better health care options. We're looking for some reduction, and I just don't think this is going to be some staggering reduction. You still have to answer for $1 trillion a year that's not being paid for, and we want an expanding economy. And that's what we're all expecting, and I hope that's what we get.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
How do you go about finding out just what your company's 401k is investing in, and can you demand to know that? Are they required to tell you that?
Well, you've got choices inside of your 401k. You should be, and basically it amounts to mutual funds.
Do they tell you that?
Well, you're the one that should be picking them, unless you've hired a service to pick them, like Fidelity, but you still have to make the full list of choices. You need to do a little work on it. It's just not, well, let me just throw some money here, because you need to understand how it's correlating to the market, how it's performing, its fees. I don't never look at anything as buy and hold.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
director, and I sure couldn't get into any discussion on a financial tool on the first meeting. We'll find out what's going on and help give you guidance, and if you should be somewhere or do something else, I will flat tell you that.
Gregory Ricks and Associates, the 401k and retirement authority. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Everybody's mindset is to be a millionaire at retirement because of inflation and lost buying power. Remember, in 1974, a Big Mac cost 75 cents. Is that some inflation or what?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10. News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
You won't learn this anywhere else. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap, live financial talk radio. Yes, that means you can participate in the show. If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, what, we have two segments till the top of the hour. 504-260-0995. Email is gregory@gregoryricks.com. And you could text us through the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Okay, a couple more cuts from Trump talking to Maria Bartiromo. Something else that will definitely affect your pocketbook is this chat of a border adjustment tax. Gregory, I don't like his idea here where if someone moves money overseas or moves jobs overseas, he's going to hit them, slap a big penalty tax on them. But he's kind of shifting on this position as well. Let's do the first cut here, number three.
How are you on the border adjustment tax? Have you decided?
I haven't really wanted to talk about it. I have my own feelings. I don't like the word adjustment, because our country gets taken advantage of, to use a nice term, by every other country in the world. So when I hear border adjustment means we lose. We lose. So I don't like the term border adjustment.
Any tax at the border?
Let's call it an import tax. Let's call it a reciprocal tax. You know, we have...
So it's in there. You want it in there?
We have countries, Marie, that charge us, our companies, 100% tax. If they sell a motorcycle, or if they sell, they make it in America, they make it in the United States, they sell it to various countries. They sell very little because the tax is 100% in some countries. The tax is 50%, 30%, 40%. But if they make a motorcycle and they sell it back into the United States, they have no tax. Now, do you think that's fair? And do you think that's smart?
So he's okay to raising those taxes, but... As a guy right here, me, number one fan of Walmart, almost everything in there, or a big chunk of it, has to go through that tax system. And if he's going to be slapping taxes, things I buy there, my money's not going to go as far when I go grocery shopping, Gregory Ricks. That's my concern. You think it's worth it to try and keep a couple of jobs here if everyone else has to spend more on their groceries every week?
That crushed their business.
All right. So something caught my ear, though. Reciprocal tax. What? That's a new term. I've never heard that before. Now, it sounds...
Well, if they're going to charge tax, we are.
Right.
To them.
But that's different than a border adjustment tax. The border adjustment tax was, all right, Ford, you're gonna build your new Explorers in Mexico. You're going to build a new plant in Mexico. Where everything that comes out of that plant, if it crosses the Rio Grande, we're slapping a big tax on it. That's irrespective of what Mexico does with our imports/exports. So hang on. We'll get back to another cut from that, but I see some calls piling up here. Jerry in New Orleans.
Yes.
You're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Jerry, how can we help you?
Yeah, a couple things on Social Security. The first thing is the penalties on our limits on income that you can get extend through the year that you turn 66. I turned 66 in November, and I had to forfeit my Social Security for November and December because I made too much. The second thing that comes about is when you get into Medicare, you can use your company's health policy if you're working past 66 or 65 to offset Part B. But if you don't do that and your income is high, you have to pay a penalty. I think it's like $60 a month for each of us, both my wife and I, above what the normal Medicare costs are.
Yeah, can you get off the speakerphone, Jerry?
Okay. Give me off the speakerphone. Okay.
Yeah, there's big timing. There's always timing issues on Social Security when things happen. And it's kind of just like the IRS code, like IRAs as an example, you know, the 59.5 or 70.5 for RMDs. Everything's got a timing. Even when, if you go into that next year and start your Social Security, say you didn't start it at 66, you started at 67.5. And for that extra time, you're not getting credited it when you start. It's going to roll around to the next fiscal year for you to start. But if you did wait to 70 to start it, you get full immediate credit for that deferral. So it does play into that.
Well, the big surprise for me was I thought when I hit the normal retirement age for me, which was in October several years back, that anything I earned after my birthday would not go against the penalty for earning too much for that tax year. And it was really a shock at the end of the year when they sent me a bill saying, hey, you got to pay back these 2 months of Social Security because you earned too much for the year.
Yeah, I know there's a timing issue there. I'd have to go back and look at that to talk about it. But it is. It's not clear cut. And where people think Social Security, you get that increase by waiting a year. And actually, the increases and all this is based on month to month, not an annual basis. And that's part of the flaw there.
Okay, the other comment has nothing to do with Social Security and everything. I've got disillusioned so much with this past election that I just pray that my taxes don't go up anymore.
Yeah, well, we still have, you know, $1 trillion in deficit spending, and I don't know where this goes. This would be ugly for the president if taxes go up. It really would.
And there's many, many ways for taxes to go up on us. A lot of them are hidden here and there. And I'm just, you know, right. I had great hopes after the election. But now I'm just kind of sliding back to the point where it's just, please don't make it worse.
Well, Jerry, maybe you shouldn't be praying for taxes to go down. Maybe for your ability to accommodate the new higher taxes would be a better prayer, right?
Yeah.
Well, a thought of that is my concern. Okay, and, you know, if they're, say, cutting the tax brackets, where are they getting it from us there? We lose more deductions. There's more fees and such as that. So that's kind of my concern on that. You know, okay, you taketh, you know, you giveth. Okay, what are you taking away? And that is my concern. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. We got to account for all this money that's being spent and the revenue not coming in.
That's a disgusting mindset, though, that they have in D.C. They're like, okay, we can cut your taxes, but we can't let it affect our revenue any. No, meaning you're going to take that dollar from somewhere else. How about you just don't take the dollar? How about how it affects us? How about you don't want to negatively affect my pocketbook and my bank and my family?
Yeah.
Right.
Great
concern. And the whole idea was that during the Obama administration, I was praying for gridlock because anytime they changed something, it got worse. And now I'm about to slide back into, let's just keep gridlock. Let's just keep everything the same because there's no way it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Well, this is a big year to see how things play out.
I'm with you, Jerry. Big fan of gridlock over here. Darren in Mobile, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Darren?
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
So I started a job last year that has a pension plan, which I didn't know anything about, did some research on. And so this year I've been getting a couple of job offers that range from $10,000 to $15,000 more a year. So I'm trying to figure out how much of a factor that pension plan should be for me when, you know, choosing between where I work now and a job. You know, it pays more but doesn't have that pension plan.
How many years do you have into the pension plan?
Oh, just a year. I'd have to stay there 7 years to be fully vested.
Well, one of the things is find out how much that is going to pay you and versus continuing. I don't know. There's a number of things you have to look at to figure that out.
I was talking to the HR manager. I just try to get an idea from her. She said, if I stay there till retirement, that it's half of your highest salary on a 5-year average. So currently that'd be, I guess $30,000 a year, and that goes a little bit less if I do that through my spouse's lifetime. But she just, was trying to give me an idea of what that annual payment would be.
You know what we used to call pensions? Half of what you couldn't live on to begin with. So you're still needing more. And if you're shifting to the job that does have pension, well, then they have 401k, I assume. You're really going to need to be maxing that out. The whole deal is things are going to change, may not be favorable for all of us. Look, we're going to have inflation that's going to be ridiculous at some point, I believe, in the future. Hyperinflation, that's the only thing that fixes the debt, because the debt won't be inflated, just everything else is, to make it look better. So you're going to need more than you think. And the pension being in place or having some of that is just another source of income that you'll have one day when you retire.
Right. I'll just, being 20-something years from retirement, if I have a job that's $10,000-$15,000 more a year, and that's, I guess, over time, if I'm making that for the next 20 years and, like you said, contributing to a 401k, continue to build that up, then probably better off in the long run with a
You're not scared about freezing your career in place by staying at this job just because it has a pension, though? I mean, this other job, and then maybe that'll lead to another job, and then, maybe three jobs down the road by the time you retire, you've doubled your income, and that pension will look silly.
Well, right, 10 to 15,000 a year sounds good, more in income, I'm telling you.
Darren, good to hear from you in Mobile. Happy Easter out in Alabama. I'm James Parker, 504-260-0995. If you want to be next, it's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to gregoryricks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Yeah, we talk about stocks and all these different choices and where we think a bottom might be. And you have to be careful with all of your decisions and seek professional licensed help in doing this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, Raj. Happy birthday. How are you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
What do you know about a Roth 401k? Is that an actuality?
Yeah, for the most part, we've always had the traditional 401k. It's pre-tax money that grows tax deferred. More and more plans are adding Roth as an option, and what you're doing is you're putting in after-tax dollars, so it's not saving you any tax money, but that money then is growing tax free, and the firm could be also contributing after tax dollars to you. So you have tax liability on that. But the magic of Roth is giving it enough time to where that tax-free growth compounds. I really want it to double.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Favorite show, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey, it's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Our next live event is coming up this Wednesday, but it's packed. Sorry. Usually we'd be trying to convince you why you need to make the first step in your new financial future, but that new step for you is going to come up in June. Your next chance to take the step. I'm not going to take it for you, but if you want to come see Gregory Ricks live, meet the team, find out what we're all about, meet the Total Wealth Authority, your next chance is going to be on June 1st. Also, if you want to join the show in a more in-depth fashion, come find us on Facebook. We have the Public Winning at Life page where when we do Facebook Live, it's streamed through there, and you can ask questions and stuff. But if you want to go a little more in-depth and have some behind-the-scenes closer access, the Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook, something we've just started. So admittedly, we're not doing a whole lot with it yet, but as the crowd grows, we'll start to do more and more. So look for that Winning at Life VIP group on Facebook. Just send me a notice. I have to add you as a member, but I don't mind. You just reach out to me and say something nice, maybe compliment my kids. You're in. All right, Gregory, we have one more Trump clip. We're going to do cut four. Something caught my ear about the Donald Trump with Maria Bartiromo when he said, we're not going to do a border adjustment tax. We're going to do a reciprocal tax. But it's not the same thing. He's going to use the word reciprocal, but if he's using that in place of border adjustment tax, I think he's pulling a little shenanigans here because it's not the same thing.
You know, one of our problems in our system, democratic election system, is you've got somebody running for president. We're going to do all these things, make all these promises, and they have no idea how it really works till they get up there. Now, you know, we're shifting on border tax, you know, and it's not just that simple. NATO's just not that simple. Building a giant fence along one of our borders, not just that simple. Oh, healthcare, maybe it is simple. It's a simple mess. It's just my thought that then you get in there and you figure out, darn, I wish I'd known some of this.
Oh, I want to be president so I can figure out what are people telling them that changes their mind. Let's do cut four.
So I love the idea of reciprocal. You can call it a reciprocal or a matching tax or a mirror tax. There are numerous terms, but the reciprocal tax is very important. And you know, the funny thing is that nobody gets angry when you say reciprocal tax. When you say we're going to charge a border tax, we'd be a rich nation if we did it, by the way. But, you know,
it sounds
that.
Even
nobody
reciprocal.
Cares. But when you say reciprocal, nobody fights you. When you say I'm going to charge a 10% or a 20% border tax, everyone goes crazy because they like free trade. Well, they don't say that the other countries are charging you much more than that. But when you say a reciprocal tax, and I'm not saying that's what I'm doing, but there has to be a certain reciprocal nature to it. But when you say reciprocal tax, nobody can get angry. Even the other countries, if like they're charging you a 50% tax, you say, okay, whatever you charge, we're charging.
Like China and India.
They may not like it, but they can't get angry because they can't win that battle.
Sounds like he's conflating two different issues, because a reciprocal tax would solve the issue of non-free trade where you say, all right, we're going to give you a good deal on our imports, but you're going to tax our goods that come into your country. And so a reciprocal tax would address that issue. The border adjustment taxes was meant to address the issues of people moving jobs and factories overseas, and they're going to tax those goods that exported jobs when you import the production of those jobs back into the country.
well, what about the VAT tax as taxing products made that companies here, products made outside the country and come back in, then they're taxed. What he's basically saying is, yeah, I've talked about all this, but I've not figured it out yet. And I don't think it's going to be fair to everyone, but we do want to keep jobs here and make it globally a level playing field, just like corporate taxes needs to be global level playing field as well for this to work.
Wow, I got something a little more nefarious out of that. See, now the border adjustment tax, you and I don't like it because we're going to end up having to spend more money on whatever products that this affects. But a president or anyone in power would like it because they now have, you know, they got like Negan's Lucille. They can go up to any CEO and be like, you're not going to move that factory overseas, are you? I've got this bat right here. See, it's a bat and Negan has a bat and it's a bat tax. I was trying to make a beautiful metaphor. I thought it was working, but you're not impressed. So, but this is how he keeps jobs from going overseas.
Well, what created the go back in time? What created the incentive for jobs to leave overseas? Because that used to not be the norm.
High cost of labor, whether it's we just cost more as workers or the tax system that adds to it or the regulatory environment with OSHA and all these other goodies that you're supposed to give people if they work in a factory here. It's just cheaper in Mexico. It's mostly labor cost, right?
It's always been cheaper. It was cheaper over there in the 1960s. Cheaper in the 1970s, but at what point, what bills, these free trade agreements that was during Clinton's administration, if I'm going by how I see timelines work, there was something there that caused the shift of jobs and products going overseas to be made. It's always been cheaper elsewhere. It's cheaper somewhere else on the planet than who they're using now. And that is going to shift to someplace else at some point. Used to be Japan. Everything's made in Japan. What's made there?
Yeah, like not even my
Nintendo.
Not
too much.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think pushed the jobs overseas?
Legislation had an effect. Somewhere in these trade bills or something created some incentive or dropped barriers for it to be done. So I think, yeah, you want to, that's using a bat to, like you said, to try to keep them here. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but also what's the incentive to make it a level playing field that they won't, but also what happened back then that started this shift? I would want to know that and see about changing it.
I mean, could you even point it on one thing? Because a lot of it is, I would say, 50 years ago, there weren't enough educated people, in China to open a big iPhone factory. We're going to have them snapping together smartphones. I mean, these people are coming out of second world status here. But
okay, then why aren't they being built in South Africa?
That's probably next. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hard. I don't envy the guy's job, but I think he's playing some word games there. And I've now learned that I don't care if he calls it a reciprocal tax. I'm against it because I know he's really thinking bat tax. He's selling it like this because
it's also in wording. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody might not like the word annuity, but what they like is guaranteed lifetime income. So how would you like guaranteed lifetime income? Well, how can I get that? Well, a fixed indexed annuity does that. And that's also why I think you should get a second opinion. And the president's going to have to get a lot of opinions to help figure that out. But what we can help you do, and we do with this show, and you can do during the week, somebody's pushing an annuity on you, you're probably not getting the full story. So give my office a call during the week, business hours. 504-832-9200.
So quite a few calls, quite a few email downloads, a lot of action that's been picking up as far as digital goes. Where do you see this in like 5 years? We only have like a couple minutes to kick around, and I wish we had more time to spend on this. But will it be just not even not odd, completely normal for us to have a client that's all the way on the other side of the country and we never meet them? Because, you know, we have some distant clients now, but that's not the bulk. That's not the half of the people that we help. But at some point, do you ever see that more than 50% of our clientele will be not in driving distance?
We already have a lot of clients that are not in driving distance. I see that continuing to expand. What makes it comfortable is like GoToMeeting or Skype, where you can sit at a laptop and have a discussion and see everything visually, that as if you were in the conference room, and the presence of everybody converting to digital signatures and the docs and everything we both can be looking at. I just think that continues to shift as people become more and more savvy that have been at work using computers and technology and online, shifting into retirement, and they don't want to be held to just the guy or lady in their town. They like, you know, I like this guy over here in this state. I want to work with him.
We do all that. Do not let the distance stop you from getting the financial advice you really deserve. Find out more. GregoryRicks.com. Download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Find us on Facebook. We got some great videos on YouTube. We will be back for the daily wrap on Monday. Thank you very much for tuning in to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I'm James Parker. This is iHeartRadio.